Glory to God. Well, if you brought your Bibles, would you turn with me this morning to John chapter 14? And I want to share a word that I believe will be encouraging for you. How many know there's power in the Word of God? There's so much power and encouragement, and there's a lot of information, a lot of information in the world that we live in today. But you know, if you're looking for truth, if you're looking for real truth, you don't need a fact checker for that, because the Word of God, heaven and earth shall pass away, but Jesus said, my word shall never pass away. And the things that you don't see are more real than the things that you do. All that we see in the natural is temporary. It shall pass. But the kingdom of God, the angels and the demons, the spiritual warfare, our own spiritual lives are eternal. They'll never pass away. And the promises in God's word are like an anchor for the soul. We all need to spend more time in the Word of God. Praise God. So take advantage of this fast that Pastor Bernie was mentioning earlier, and just spend some time and just marinate your spiritual man in the Word of God. Amen. And you'll be stronger. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I just have a word that I hope will encourage you. We'll start with verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that reveals Christ, the Word of God, unto us. We ask you, Lord, to give us revelation this morning. Let your word go forth and accomplish its purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 There is, and always has been, trouble. There's no escaping it. There's a doctrine that says no matter how much trouble there may be in the world, if you have that faith, that God faith, then you won't have to go through trouble. You'll never have trouble. And I believe that has done much harm to the gospel. Give your life to Jesus, and you'll have perfect peace, love, and joy, and all your problems will go away forever and ever and ever. Just butterflies and angels and sparkling gold dust everywhere all the time. It's not the world that Jesus promised us. Jesus promised us, in the world you'll have tribulation. Wow, that's not a very positive message. Well, you have to read the rest of it. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is one of the things about the church and about Christians, the world. You know, they just can't wrap their mind around, and they don't get it. And so they laugh at us sometimes, and it's because they know that we go through all the same things that they do. Yet, we're not depressed, we're not oppressed, we're not down and out. As a matter of fact, we've got a smile on our face. We've got a spring in our step. We've got joy, and you know, that confuses them. It disturbs, it troubles them. Sometimes it even angers them. But you know, we've learned through our salvation experience that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. We go through all the same problems, many that the world will go through. Things that happen affect us all. I mean, Elijah, when he went to Ahab and he prophesied it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years, that affected him too. But he served a God of provision that led him down the creek, and he was sustained by the birds that brought him meat. Who knows, maybe off of Ahab's own grill, right? And then when the creek dried up, he said, "Oh Lord, what do I do now? Sometimes our creek, you know, is drying up." They say, "What do we do?" And he said, "Well, you know, there's a little widow woman over there." We're living according to God's economy when we live in faith. Live in faith. Walk. The just shall live by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. We're living in times when more than ever we need faith. Amen? Hallelujah. So fear is faith in reverse. When you allow the circumstances of this world to trouble you so that it hinders your faith, robs you of your joy, and causes you to lose sleep at night, and you're worrying, and you're troubled, and you're just so concerned about what's going on. And it's not to say we shouldn't be concerned, but to be concerned and express that through prayer and faith is one thing. But to be so concerned to the point that you're troubled and it impacts the foundation of your relationship with God and your faith, and you begin to doubt who he is or what he is capable of, that's not God's will. Jesus said to his disciples in their time of trouble, "Let not your heart be troubled." Well, Pastor, please take this trouble away. God, take this trouble away. There's a lot of things that God will do and does, but there's some things he tells us to do. Gently, as a shepherd, if we continue to go astray, he says, stop going astray. You don't say, "Lord, stop me from going astray." No, stop going astray. Right? He has a shepherd's staff, and he also has a rod. Help us, Lord, right? Staying close to your prayer life and in the Word of God, encouraging yourself and edifying yourself through the words of Jesus. Let not your heart. We have a personal responsibility, folks. For us, we are to keep our hearts in check. Let not your heart be troubled. How? How do you do that? What's the secret to not getting in trouble? Not letting your heart get in trouble. Well, you know, it's not a 12-step program. It's not hidden in a corner in a verse, you know, somewhere that's a mystery. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And in his very next sentence, you believe in God? Believe also in me. You believe in God. How much do you believe in God? What is your level of faith? Are you believing that you serve a great big God, that nothing is impossible with him? That he's your provider, he's your keeper, he's your savior, he's your deliverer, he's the Holy Ghost baptizer, he's the demon chaser, he's our soon coming king. Hallelujah. We claim all of the names of God. Amen. We know the God we serve and the character that he has showed us throughout our experience. We don't allow the enemy and what's going on in the world to change who God is in our mind. And we keep the faith. And when we keep the faith, we have a peace. Not as the world gives, But he said, as I give unto you a peace that passes all understanding. There was a man. In every sermon, you have to find an illustration, right? So there was a guy who was so troubled. He didn't know what to do. He was just so troubled. He couldn't even sleep at night. So he snuck out under cover of night, and he went to someone that he thought, for sure, if anybody has the answer. He said, because no one can do the things that you do except God is with him. And this is in John chapter 3. And sometimes we don't know how to express our concern, our trouble, what's bothering you. You might not know how to even express it in prayer. This man came to Jesus, Nicodemus, and he was trying to express how troubled he was in the midst of what was going on in the political world, in the religious world, and what he saw in the kingdom of God and Jesus. And he was so troubled, and he came to Jesus, and he didn't even know how to express his question. So Jesus, in his love, he cut right through all of it, and he answered his question just, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Wow. That's it. All your questions, all your concerns, you know, you can make it as complicated as you want to make it, or you must be born again. That's the answer to all your troubles, Nicodemus. All of these things, that's your answer. Salvation. Wow. And I was thinking the other day about, you know, we're really good at explaining a simple truth with huge words and a great vocabulary. Jesus was expert at explaining profound truths with simple words. I believe it was McGee on the radio. He said one time, put the cookies on the bottom shelf where the kids can reach them. He said, because Jesus said, feed my sheep, not feed my giraffes. God's word isn't hard to understand. And the kingdom of God and how to find real peace isn't hard. I remember hearing a story about a little boy in school. And the teacher told everybody, draw a picture of peace. Perfect peace. Wow, that's a tall order, right? So they're drawing their pictures, you know, with crayons, and they turned them in, and the teacher is grading them and went through them. And here's a lake, it's crystal clear, there's not even a ripple, just it's like glass. Here's a meadow, nice and calm, and all these nice calm pictures. And then she flips one over, and there's these clouds, and you know, there's lightning, and the rain is blowing sideways, and there's a tree that's like, you know, the roots are half pulled out of it. And she called him up and she said, What's the meaning of this? I said, draw a picture of peace. And he said, well, look a little closer. And she looked a little closer, and there in the midst of the storm, in the middle of the tree, was a little nest. And in that little nest was a little bird. And in the caption of the little bird, it tweet, 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 tweet. He said, my daddy has taught us that there's a peace, a perfect peace that only comes in the midst of the storm. That little bird was trusting in his nest and in the strength of that tree that even in the midst of the storm, there's one who could keep it. The world doesn't understand our peace. But you know what? We have to demonstrate that it's faith. We should have an answer that we give to everyone that asks us of the reason of our faith. And so to Nicodemus, it was, you must be born again. And through the experience of salvation, we give our lives to Jesus. So what does that mean to say I gave my life to Jesus? Wow. That means I gave up on myself. I gave myself away. But you know, we're really good as humans. We want to come back and say, well, yes, I gave you my life, but you know what? I'm going to take this part back. I'm going to take this little part. I'm going to take this part back. What we're really saying is, thank you for being my Savior, but I don't really want a Lord. He is the Lord and Savior. Amen? I don't know if you guys heard the one about the guy who he ran off the bridge in his car and he was drowning in a river and a guy saw him and jumped in after him, rescued, saved his life. He survived. Years later, he got into some trouble. He murdered a man and was guilty, standing before the judge. And the judge was just about to issue his verdict. And he recognized the judge. And he said, hey, I recognize, remember me? I'm the one that you saved me. It was you, I know it was, all them years ago. You jumped in the river and you saved me then. Save me now. And the judge said, then I was your Savior. But today, I'm your judge. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon him while he may be found. If you're listening to this and you're troubled, your heart is troubled, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because you don't have to be. There's a price that has been paid through the precious blood of Jesus. You can pray right now, the simplest of prayer. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. And he hears that prayer and he takes your sin upon himself, upon the cross. He takes our judgment, our trouble. We were in trouble. Salvation is so simple a child can understand it. I was in trouble, and Jesus, he took my spanking. He took my punishment and set me free. So now I'm not in trouble anymore. What a beautiful feeling when you know you're in trouble. Has your heart ever been gripped with fear because you know that you'd done something wrong and you had been caught? You knew you were in trouble. Scary feeling, isn't it? When the light's on you. When you know the conviction of the Holy Spirit is real. When the light's on you and your life is naked and open before God. And you say, oh my God, I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. Because there's no way that I can save myself from my sins. And then that amazing grace comes sweeping in and says, if you give your heart and life to me, if you'll confess your sin, if you believe in God and believe in me, let not your heart be troubled. I'll save your heart and your life. And I will take your sin upon me and set you free. And when you confess, Jesus, save me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, wash me. Jesus, cleanse me. And you pray through. Woo! Hallelujah. There's no words that can describe or express the emotion of freedom and salvation, deliverance. Salvation in the Greek is sozo, and it means salvation for the soul, healing for the body, and deliverance for the mind and spirit. You're new, completely new. You were so troubled just a moment ago, and now there's nothing in the world that can ever trouble you again. And you're ready to just take the world by storm. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. He can do it for you. In these troubled times, the world needs Jesus. I'm going to close with this. I want Jesus to see his church with his heart, with his hands, with his feet, and with his words, reaching out in love to a lost and a dying world. Forgive us, Lord, for how we judge. This world and the sinners in it are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They're sinning. They're lost. They're lost in sin. That's all they can do. They don't really even have a choice. You can't save yourself or stop yourself from sinning, no matter how much you want to. But I ask myself, the world is doing what they're supposed to be doing. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be? Is the church doing what it's supposed to be doing? All the problems in this world, you know, the world doesn't have the answer. The church has the answer. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Oh yeah, the world needs to turn from their wicked. If my people, if the church never humbles itself and prays and seeks his face and turns from their wicked ways, then he will never hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal the land. This week of fasting and prayer, the church is the answer to the world's problems. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Hallelujah. Encourage yourself this week. Be encouraged and know that you don't have to live in trouble. The world's in trouble. Hey, the world is in crisis, but we are in Christ. Hallelujah. Will you say that with me? The world is in crisis, but we are in Christ. Hallelujah. Just like Noah, that preacher of 120 years, we are inviting this world. You want to get out of trouble? Guess what? God's made a way and there's room for everybody. Christ is the ark of our salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, whether you're here in this congregation or listening online, would you just, in your heart of hearts, cry out, Jesus, save me. Save me right now. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Save me. Forgive me. I dedicate my life to you right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you did that, would you please, would you reach out and communicate with this church? You can call or email. I'm sure there's different ways that you can online. You can see that. And I'm so thankful for the day that we're living in. Our outreach has broadened. We can reach people all over the world through these cameras. Wow, Pastor Bernie. Praise God. I feel like a televangelist in a good way. Amen. Because I know that from this pulpit, the truth is preached. Last week's message, if you didn't hear last week's message, you got to go back and listen to that. I love that about David, walking in the steps of righteousness. And we're a Pentecostal church. We believe, we've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. Salvation saves you from your sin, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit empowers you to live it and to overcome yourself so that you can reach others. Reach someone this week with the God. Share this message. Say, hey, you know what? I thought I didn't have nothing to share. But guess what? The preacher said, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Are you troubled? What's troubling you, brother? Well, let me tell you, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He's coming again. Are you ready? Is your ear straining to hear the sound of the trumpet? Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this time, Lord. We ask you to bless our pastors, Lord, and the pastoral family, the leadership family, the family of First Assembly of God, Rock Hill. Bless them, Lord. bless their outreaches, bless and prosper their investments into the kingdom of God. Hear and answer prayer in miraculous ways this week. We thank you for it in Jesus' awesome name. Amen.